that sound? Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5. We're going through our study of the walk of Ephesians and how we can walk through the book of Ephesians and walk through our Christian life together. And God speaks a lot about our walk, the way that we are living our lives. In Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 8, it says this: For ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. Father, we ask that you would help us this morning to allow your Holy Spirit to speak to us, to be challenged by your word. If there's anyone here that does not know your Son as Savior, Lord, may today be the day that they recognize how desperately you love them and desire to give them the gift of eternal life, and that they would accept that gift from you. We ask that you would just change us, mold us in the image of your Son, and we'll thank and praise you for all that you do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Before I forget to do this, there's some little cards out there that are about a revival. Ben Farrell, this is Tom Farrell's son. We had Tom Farrell scheduled. His wife has developed leukemia. He's pulled himself off of the road. And so his son, who is an assistant pastor in town here, but is also looking to go into evangelism, will be preaching for us. Looking forward to that. It's actually time for us as a church to kind of look to transition from some of the older guys to some of the younger guys that can preach anyway. So it just is it's a great opportunity for us. So we'll be looking at that. You can take those, pass them out. We'd like to have good attendance each night of the revival. That's only coming up in about, 3 weeks? 2 weeks? 2 weeks. Just 2 weeks. The way we do our revivals is a little bit different. On the evening, weeknights, we offer a meal each night before the service. There's two reasons for that. One is so that you can, those of you who work, can come from work, grab the kids, and still make it to church in time. Hard sometimes to get off work, fix supper, et cetera, and then make it. So we do that for that reason. Secondly, it's a great opportunity for you to say, hey, if you come, I'll take care of your dinner. You can come to dinner, then we'll go to the revival service, and we will feed about any place from 100 to 200 people every night. It's always a great time. Our ladies do a good job with it. So we're looking forward to that revival time coming up. Ephesians chapter 5 talks to us here now. It says that we are to walk as children of light. Remember in Matthew chapter 5, it says this. It says, ye are the light of what? Of the world. That's what the Bible says. You and I, Christians, Jesus is talking to his followers. You are the light of the world. He says, then, because we are the light of the world, we are to let our life, in verse 16, so shine before men that they might see our good works and glorify the Father which is in heaven. You and I are called to be lights in a dark world. We are to walk in the light. We are to walk as children of light. In John chapter 1, or 1 John chapter 1, it tells us to walk in the light as he is in the light. And by doing so, we have fellowship with him. And that's what God wants us to do, is to walk like children in the light. Throughout this whole study, what the Apostle Paul keeps reiterating is that we're not to walk like we used to. We're not to live our lives as if Christ has made no difference. When the world sees us, the world ought to be saying, I don't know what they have, but I want it. I want something that's going to change my life and make a difference. The truth is, when many people look at Christians today, they're looking at us and saying, why should I bother? Because I can have everything you've got without all the hassle of having to go to church, right? That's the way they view it. You and I ought to be representing a life that they cannot have apart from Christ. We ought to be representing joy unspeakable and full of glory and a peace that passes all understanding. We ought to be representing a life that when they see it, they're drawn to it. Jesus said, and I, if I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto me. That's the life that we're supposed to be living. So we are to walk as children of light. So first of all, let's deal with this first thing, all right? In order to be children of light, in order to walk in the light, in order to be a light to the world, you and I have to know Jesus Christ, our Savior, all right? We got to nail that one down. If you're here this morning, you say, I hope I'm going to heaven, you need to nail this down. If you're here this morning, you say, I have no idea if I'm going to heaven, you need to nail this down. Here's what the Bible says. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There's no one that's going to get to heaven because they go to this church. There's no one that's going to get to heaven because they're good people or because they've been baptized or because they read their Bibles. There's no one that's going to get to heaven because we do anything special. We're sinners in need of a Savior. The Bible says that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, to come to this world to die for our sins. And then he offers us freely a gift. It's the gift of eternal life, the gift of salvation. And what we do is we place our faith, our trust in Jesus Christ and his death on the cross to do for us what we cannot do for ourselves. We can't wash our own sins away. We can't deal with our own sin problem. We need for God to do something for us that we can't do for ourselves. And that is through Jesus Christ. And when we trust Jesus Christ as our Savior, God changes us from his enemy to his friend, into a child of God. And then he empowers us to live a life that is different, a life that sets us apart from everyone else, not because we're better, but because he has done something in us. And he changes us. And as we allow him to be lifted up in our lives, he begins to draw people to himself. And that's what this is all about. God wants us to walk as children of light. Well, verse 9 begins to tell us how that looks. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth. Galatians chapter 5 tells us what the fruit of the Spirit are, right? The fruit of the Spirit is love. All right, you got them all. Some of you started getting weaker and weaker and weaker, but we got them all, right? Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. This is the fruit of the Spirit. God wants, because we have been changed from apart from God, from dead in our trespasses and sins, from living without Christ to now living in Christ, walking in the light, God wants us to reflect Christ by allowing the Holy Spirit to put his fruit into our lives. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering. All of these things ought to be exemplified in the life of God's children. And if we are walking in the light, then we are allowing the light to show through our lives. So he says, I don't want you to walk in darkness anymore. I want you to walk as children of light. I want you to be the light of the world and to let your light so shine before men. And he then brings us right to the fruit of the Spirit, which is fulfilled in all goodness, righteousness, and truth. In verse 10, he then goes on to say, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. So as you and I are walking in this light, we cannot walk indiscriminately, but instead what we do is we discern what things we ought to be involved in and what things we ought not to be involved in, what things reflect a life without Jesus Christ and what things reflect a life with Jesus Christ. And as children of God, we want to reflect a life with Christ. We want to let the lights that is in us shine before men. And so we don't walk indiscriminately, but we instead discern, prove, put to the test things before we just step out, before we take aside whatever it might happen to be. We're going to prove what is acceptable unto the Lord. Put it to the test. And verse 11 goes on to say this, and have no fellowship. Let me ask you this question. When God says no fellowship, what does he mean? No fellowship. None, zero, zip, zilch, nada, right? No fellowship. God does not want his children to kind of be in the light and out of the light, in the light, out of the light. He doesn't want us to go back and forth. He wants us to be clearly distinguished from a life without Christ. Because how can light and darkness have fellowship one with another? Remember what the Bible says? How can good water and bad come out of the same fountain? How can blessings and cursing come out of the same mouth? God's children ought to be uniquely different, not because we are better, not because we do certain things, but because we're allowing his Spirit to change us from the inside out so that the fruits of the Spirit become evident in our lives. As we are walking in the light, as we are discerning the things that we ought to do and we ought not to do, we begin then to separate ourselves from things that are of darkness. We have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather our lives should be that which draws attention to that which is in Christ. our lives should when it says our lives should reprove them, it's not so much that we stand up and say, that's wicked, you shouldn't do that. It is that our lives ought to be exemplifying that which is so much better. So that when people who are living over here in darkness see us, they sit there and say, wow, I don't know what they've got, but I want it. I want to get out of this darkness. Our lives ought to be a repudiation of what it is to live without Christ. What's wrong with a Christianity that is burdensome? Jesus said, my yoke is easy and my burden is light. When we present to the world a God that becomes a burden, why would they ever want that? We are free in Christ, right? That's what the Bible says. We are bound in our trespasses and sins, but we're free in Christ. And yet as Christians, we present this life sometimes as like, ugh, I'm a Christian. Don't you want to be like me? Why would I want to be like that? And so our lives is living in the light, and the very aspect of our lives ought to be a repudiation of what it is to be in darkness. Everybody who's living in darkness ought to be looking at us and saying, wow, that's incredible. I wish I could have what they've got. And you can. That's the point, right? Instead, what we've got is Christians looking at people who are popular and saying, oh, I wish I could be popular. And not realizing that they're walking in darkness. Or we see Christians see other people with money and say, wow, I wish I could be rich. And not recognizing that what they have is in darkness. I'm not against richness, and I'm not against popularity. I'm just against it as the motivation for living. You understand? We ought to be exemplifying a life that says, this is how wonderful it is to be a Christian. You know that song? Oh, it's wonderful to be a Christian. Oh, it's wonderful to be God's child. Oh, it's wonderful to have your sins forgiven. Oh, it's wonderful to be redeemed, justified forever. That's what we have. And yet we present a life that seems like darkness. And that's what this is all about. Quit walking in darkness, Jesus says. Walk as children of light. To have fellowship is friendship, or to show honor, participation in these unfruitful works of darkness. The works of darkness is simply anything that is apart from Christ. Anything that, by the way, I believe that when this world comes to an end, read the book of the Revelation, this world is destroyed, and then what does God do? He creates a new heaven and a new earth. And I believe that what we're going to enjoy for all eternity is what God intended for us to enjoy from the beginning of creation. So he's going to make it all right, and sin will no longer have dominion. And so life in this world without sin is what God intended, a life like this. It's going to be beautiful. And we as Christians have the chance, the opportunity to show forth a glimpse of what that looks like to a world in darkness. But we've got to let the light so shine. We've got to let the Spirit work in us so that we're walking in the light as He is in the light. Go on and look what it says, verse 12 and 13. For it is a shame even to speak of those things that are done to them in secret. But all things are reproved and are made manifest by the light. For whatsoever doth make manifest is light. This is an amazing thing. This is what light does. Now listen, what we like to do, if we're not careful, we like to say, well, light reveals, Pastor, so it's my job to reveal everybody's shortcomings. No, it's not. That's not what this verse is saying at all. It's your job to reveal life in Christ. That's what the light is. Yes, it does make it. What it does is when I'm living my life the way God wants me to, everybody around me looks at their own life and says, wow, I've been sold short. You understand? My life becomes a manifestation to everybody that says, wow, life without Christ is not worth living. But as the old song says, He gave me something worth living for, right? I mean, that's the idea of being in Christ, is now I have a life that's worth living. I have a reason to get up every day. And my reason is not popularity or money or to make another dollar or to go punch a clock. My reason is because Christ liveth in me. And that makes it worthwhile. And when I embrace that and walk in the light, my life becomes a manifestation that a life without Christ simply is not worth staying in. Go on to verse 14. Wherefore he saith, I was going to do the awakening chorus this morning. My voice just simply won't do it. But listen to what it says. Awake, thou that sleepest, and rise up from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. You know, this concept of walking in the light is to walk awake and alert, to be vibrant, to be made alive. Turn over to Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2. And somebody read verse 1 for me. And you hath he quickened, who were dead in trespasses. Listen, remember back before you were saved, do you remember that? Do you remember how miserable it was not to know Christ? Because apart from Christ, here's what our life is: dead in trespasses and sins. In Christ is alive and vibrant. Tell your face. This is a great life, isn't it? Amen? This isn't a burden we've been called to live out. It's an honor and a privilege to walk in the light where there is joy unspeakable and peace that passes understanding. And who wouldn't want to live the Christian life? What's the matter with this when Christians are needing to be wakened up? We're no longer dead. Quit living like we're dead. Awake, thou that sleepest, he says. And look what happens, by the way. When we do this, now we're going to start walking in the light. We're going to wake up. We're going to start walking in the light. What does Christ do at the end of that verse? Verse 14. If I start walking in the light, if I wake up and walk in the light, what does Christ do? He gives me more light. He gives me more light. It's wonderful. He enriches my life even more. I mean, think about everything that light does. I've got to take a drink, if you don't mind. What is my glass? Never mind. All right, I'll survive. It's back there. All right. Think about everything the light does. If you are scared, how many of you have ever been scared? I lived my life scared to death. Thank you, Pastor Andrew. I lived my life scared to death as a little kid. I mean, when I say little kid, I'm talking about, I got saved when I was 16, so I'm talking about all the way through 16 and a half. Up to that point, I was terrified. Now, I liked it. I liked being scared. So I'd stay up late at night and watch Sammy Terry. Remember Sammy Terry? Sammy Terry. It's a play on words for cemetery, for those of you who are trying to figure it out. And so Sammy Terry would show these dorky shows. I mean, they were horrible shows. And I would be terrified. And I'm not making this up. I would go to bed, and I could not sleep on my side. I could not sleep on my stomach because I wanted to be able to see what was coming at me. So I slept on my back. But then it made me feel like I was in a coffin, and I didn't want to feel like I was in a... And so I would hike my leg up like this, because you can't close the lid if my leg's sticking up, right? This is just my thinking. And when I would wake up in the morning, I'd be laying like that. I was so terrified, I did not move. But that's not what walking in the light is. Light brings great comfort, right? It's an amazing thing. When the sun comes up, all of the shadows disappear. And all of the... I wasn't afraid during the day. I was just afraid at night, you know? Now, if you grew up in the house I grew up in, it would scare you too. It was a great house. It was. I loved that house, but it was 152 years old when I was living there. And it creaked and groaned all the time. It just was one of those houses. But I lived in terror. I did. By the way, what does light do? Light reveals what you need to see. Have you ever tried to get a splinter out of your finger without a light? Amazing how much better it is to have light, isn't it? Can you imagine a surgeon trying to operate without a light? Yeah, light does a great job in revealing things. And this is what light does. Light is a great tool. It brings us comfort. it gives us hope, by the way, right? Do you remember in Acts chapter 26, I think it is, the Apostle Paul is shipwrecked in the Euroclodon, that great big storm that came up. You remember that storm? And the Bible says that for 2 weeks, they didn't see the sun or the stars or the moon. And they were living for 2 weeks under this storm, and it was terrorizing them. It was a fearful thing. Because you know what light does? It brings great comfort. Light brings hope. When the light comes up, all of a sudden, like, wow, there is light at the end of the tunnel, right? Light brings hope. And this is what our lives are supposed to do. Our lives as children of light are to bring to a lost and dying world the hope that this life is not all that there is, that there's something worth living for, to bring the realization that there's some issues that need to be dealt with and now I can see them, to bring comfort and to eradicate fear and all these things. You and I are called to walk in the light as He is in the light. Wake up. And as God, as we walk more in the light, God gives us more light and more light, more comfort, more peace, more joy, more hope. It just keeps building and keeps building. So that by the time we get to the end of our Christian life, everyone around us, in fact, you've already said this about many Christians you've watched die, and you've said to yourself, wow, if I could go out of this world like that, that would be a joy, wouldn't it? Because for however they did it, rather than, you know, have you ever, you know, you go to that sweet old Christian who's dying and you go there to comfort them because they're dying and you leave comforted and you say to yourself, wow, that's the way I want to be. Well, that's what God's offering to us. He is. And we ought to be showing forth to the world, this is what life in Christ looks like. But we can only do that, folks, if we walk in the light. We can only do that if we let the light so shine before men. We can only do that if we allow the light that God has given to us to shine forth, because we're awake, paying attention, and we're letting God do a work.